8 a.m. and we are recording.
Great. It's 8 o'clock. We're calling the meeting to order. Item number two, comments from the public. Anybody have a general comment?
We have a comment from Mr. Kyle.
Bob Kyle.
What kind of a morning would it be without one?
Good morning. I didn't see on the agenda anything addressing the meeting update for the emergency storage tank. I heard there was a meeting. I also heard a rumor that I would like to clarify, because it's a rumor, that Amelia, at the direction of Mr. Gear, is looking for alternate locations for the tank. And I was just curious if that rumor was...
It's not a rumor, Bob. We said at the last meeting that we're going to look into the best location for the tank that is the least expensive and the best for the community.
Which had already been decided.
It had not.
It was approved by the board and the engineers. Site four.
I don't think that's exactly true, Bob.
Okay.
And I went through it with Amelia, and she looked through the minutes and said, no, we did not approve that location.
So under what authority are you dealing with Amelia to find a new location for the tank? It's not in the scope of an ad hoc, and it's not in the scope of a board member. So
since
it's a secret meeting with Amelia to look, because the engineers aren't aware of it.
Well,
because I've talked to them.
Okay.
So it's just a you and Amelia. Randy, are you aware of it?
No.
Okay, so the board members aren't aware, the public's not aware, the engineers aren't aware. So you're working with Amelia in secrecy to locate a new...
It is absolutely
tank.
Not in secrecy, Bob, and you're blowing this way out of proportion, as you like to do.
Okay.
If you can go back through the minutes and find where we said this is where we're going to put this, then... please bring it to our attention.
So when do you plan on disclosing these tank locations?
There will be several public meetings, Bob. Well, you think I'm just going to pick a spot and say, let's build it there?
Yes.
You've
already argued with the engineers where they placed it and said that that wasn't the best spot. So
it wasn't an argument, Bob. We are just discussing it.
Okay.
Okay. And I do not think that Site 4 is the best location. It's not.
Everybody else does, Bill.
Okay. Jesus, Bob, you argue against yourself every day.
Against myself?
Bob, who's paying for the tank?
Me, partially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, now stop right there.
Yeah.
If we put it on Site 4, the landowner, Tony's here, he can illuminate us on this if he wishes. That location is like $900,000 to purchase the land.
The entire parcel?
No, just the parcel.
The 4 acres?
Yes. That was the last number we heard, okay? Now, if we put it down by the water plant, we already own that property, and so we do not have to pay that $900,000. That's a savings for you, Bob.
Did you hear the arguments against being down there?
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
They told you it would have to be underground? You don't remember this and that the pumping was...
The tank would have to be underground?
You don't... Go back and listen to the meeting where you suggested it down there and... Joe Domenicelli told you that it was not possible. So,
I don't think Joe said that.
You want to help me, Travis, here, or do you want to?
You know what? I'm going to stay out of this one.
Okay.
Because
you don't remember the conversation?
No, they said
it would have to be underground, and you said that's fine.
I don't. I do not remember it that way.
Okay. All right. I guess you need to re-listen to your minutes. Is my suggestion. Because we had this conversation and everybody decided that 4 was way better than down by the tank. But
why are you so interested in being up there, Bob?
Okay. Why? Because that location, it's an emergency storage tank. At that location, there's no pumping, it's gravity.
That's not true at all. What are you talking about?
The 3 minutes
okay.
are out.
All right, thanks, Bob.
That is true, Bob. It's going to take pumping no matter
no.
where.
To support pumping. The Van Vleck portion of the property was where I was going with that. That tank can be an emergency tank for the Van Vleck if it's at a certain elevation without pumping. This is true.
Okay, Bob, your 3 minutes are up. Thanks for your comments.
We have Jeff.
Yeah, hi, Jeff Pearson, representing Rancho Merritt Properties. I'll clarify, I'll help you out a little bit with the price tag on that. We had a negotiator from the district come over and have a discussion. I would stretch to call it a negotiation. I'd characterize it as the negotiator asked to be gifted the property first, and that was a pretty tough thing to hear, especially considering the kind of resistance that we've gotten from the board. We're perfectly willing to negotiate, but I would not call it a negotiation session at all. We gave a price based upon what we believe to be a market value of the property. We gave an option, and that was it.
Right.
So there's a lot of ground that can be left to cover, but don't use that as an excuse.
I'm not using anything as an excuse, Jeff.
You used the price as the reason why you're exploring these other options.
Well, price is a really good reason.
Sure, but a negotiation.
Your prices, do you want to disclose your prices?
I think you just did.
Okay, 900, well.
I think you just did.
900 and something, 940?
Right, and
940 for the four, and 1.25 for a bigger parcel. I think that's the numbers I remember.
Sure.
I'm asking you because I don't want you to pretty close?
I think that I repeated that.
Okay, so.
When I stood up here. So, we are not unwilling to negotiate, but what that was not a negotiation session, to be clear.
That's, okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Thanks, Jeff. Okay.
That is it for public comments.
All right. Travis, you said you want to do 3C?
If we can do item C first, please. Item C, the 14th hole North Culvert repair. Veer Camp, we did get three quotes on that and Veer Camp came in at the lowest. There was some discussion. I have Corey here. He can give an update on that. But Veer Camp has submitted a change order for $22,540. Even with this change order, his cost will still be lower than the other two. But because of the amount, it was deemed to be brought before the improvements committee and then ergo the board. And Corey, if you can come up here and explain the reason for the change order, and then I have him and Daryl if need be available for questions.
So the reason for the change order would be due to the emergency or forth, basically pushing the job sooner ahead to remove unsuitable native soil that's in the ground because of saturation. Also bypass pumping the creek, as Art explained, that drainage creek, whatever you want to call it, is always flowing due to overwatering, which they expected it to dry up more than what it is. So they have to do some bypass pumping, remove the unsuitable soil, and then they're going to bring in some soil from one of their other locations to replace it, and their plan was to use all native soil since it's in the fairway, not in a street, and not doing a three-quarter crush, as CSD standard is three-quarter crush for drainage. But talking to Joe DeMichelli, he would like three-quarter crush up to a minimum of spring line, so that's where they added in also three-quarter crush to spring line of pipe.
The original contract didn't call for the three-quarter inch crush?
They were looking at just doing native, is my understanding. There was nothing brought to them for an estimate except for give us an estimate to replace the drainage. There wasn't any engineering plans or nothing.
But it had to be per
district. Correct.
Standard specifications and plans, and I can't imagine that we don't show three-quarter inch crush around our pipes up to spring line or a foot above in our standards.
Part of that is right there in the 14th fairway is they won't be able to do three-quarter crush more than likely, especially a foot above, because of being in the fairway, the grass won't grow. So that was part of the...
Because it's so shallow?
Correct. So that's the other part of not being able to crush the whole thing, as well as they didn't plan on crushing it because it was in the street. I guess that's why their first quote came in lower.
So what is their what was their original quote, and how much is the change order worth?
So if they're I don't have their original quotes in front of me.
I believe it was 343,000.
No. It was like eight. No, this is. Yeah, it was in the 80s, and then they were still like 40-something thousand dollars cheaper than the second.
So even with the change,
they're still the lowest. Correct.
Still about $20,000.
Yeah. So the reasoning for this is there was no contingency stated, and so because of the cost, Amelia had deemed appropriate to bring it here, and if necessary, the board for approval.
Corey, did we check what Randy's saying, have we checked the original to make sure that we didn't already pay for these change orders?
Correct. We have not.
You have not what?
We haven't paid for any of these changes.
Those are, right, but that, the things that Mr. Verkamp is changing, those were not covered by specification in the original contract?
No, we didn't pay for a engineering specifications done on this. The only specifications would have been CSD standards of 3/4 cross around the pipe. So, which, like I said, you can't do that completely in this area.
And I don't think any of the quotes had the 3/4 crush. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think.
So what do we need to do? Does this need to go to the board?
Because of the cost, I believe it should go to the board for approval. We just need your... blessing to move it forward, and then at the board meeting, if we'll have Joe will be here, and for other things, but and then if necessary, Corey can be here to explain it.
Okay. So, Diane, let's move this forward to board for consideration.
Perfect.
Thanks,
thank
Corey.
You. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it. Go back to item A. So, as we all know, there was a project brought forward and approved to install a water valve at the water plant that will automatically close when the level of Rio Oso tank got to a certain point. And there was an approval done to have the drawings done, the electrical and everything done, and also included in that was the communications between the tanks and the water plant. The original assessment, if I believe, was that it was believed that this project would be done and installed and be used this summer. That's not going to happen at all. The time that it took for electrical engineer to do stuff and move back and forth, that's not going to happen at all. It has always been my belief that this is not needed. And I've spoken with Joe about it, and we're in agreement. If the instance happens to where the tank gets too low, maybe half a dozen times a year, I have an operator at the water plant that can just go manually turn the valve and monitor it for 3-4 hours until it gets back up to acceptable levels. I don't believe, I never have believed that this is necessary. So what I'd like to do, we have spent some money on the task on that task order. We do have drawings of what it would look of what the valve would look like, and we also have we've also started most of the drawings for the electrical. We have not done anything yet with the SCADA screens, the communication, or anything. And what I'm bringing forward is, I'd like to just at this point squash this. Stop this from moving forward. We would also have this summer to test my theory about staff doing the valve. The part that I would like to move forward that we do need and have needed for many moons is the communication part of it. What I'm asking, what I'm bringing to you is we have several options. We can continue with this to get the shovel-ready drawings, which to me is just a waste of more money. We can stop the part of the task order that has to deal with this valve and continue forward with the communication part, which is what I'd like to do. Or we can just completely stop it right now, and what we got is what we've got.
So if we're not putting in the valve, Travis, where is the SCADA sensors going to go?
Levels, they would be radio controlled. That would be on each one of the tanks, and they would be radio controlled to the water plant. So that way, because for the level indications, the last electrical storm we had, we lost the level indicator to Van Fleck 3 times in that weekend, and the level of Van Fleck is what tells the plant to turn on and off. And so we actually had to monitor that the last night, because we used the last of our thing of our indicators, because if you don't monitor it and you just let it go, then water just spills out the top of the tank, and then you're just wasting water. And also the communication between the water plant and Van and Rio Oso, that goes out 2-3 times a year, because they're both just direct buried lines. The only thing that saves us at Rio Oso is it's got its own PLC set up there on site that tells the valve to open and close, because AT&T doesn't respond quickly to these. The last time the Rio Oso one went out, it took them a week to get out here. So it's the communication to me is highly important. I would like to have the part of the task order that deals with the communication to get that part done, and then once that's done, depending on the engineer's estimated cost, I'd sit down with Cecilia and talk dollars and cents, and then bring to the committee if it's
So the SCADA part, I mean, it has uses far beyond the valve project.
The SCADA part?
Yeah.
No, the only part that has to do with the SCADA is the SCADA company was going to be implementing the screens and the programming needed to operate the valve. That's all that the SCADA portion was going to be.
Okay. So you want us to pause the work on everything other than the SCADA implementation?
No. I want to pause everything other than the communication.
Communication.
The communication part of that at this time. That's my recommendation.
Does this have to go to the board?
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't know. We're not spending any money. We're actually not doing any money. If it was a board decision to do the job, and so I it couldn't hurt. They're not everything. I mean, everything's on pause. We're not doing anything this second right now. I because we're not. You guys are at a pause right now.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. So. I don't see why, you know, it couldn't hurt to get board approval.
Make sure that, that it's at the very least gets communicated through the board. Mm-hmm. So I'm good with moving this to the board with a recommendation to approve your proposal.
I mean, I think what we're doing is we're resequencing tasks. I mean, we should check with Amelia. She might feel that she can tell Joe to pause the work, or we could put it on the consent agenda if she doesn't feel it, but it's not a big deal.
And we have a couple of comments. So we have Ms. Gale.
So Diane, you're going to talk to Amelia?
Yes.
She can resequence it or put it on the consent agenda. Thank you.
Travis?
Yes.
Just for clarification, is this a so-called throttle valve?
Yes.
Thanks. That's all I need to know. That was a big deal at the time.
Yes.
I mean, really, Joe, it was really going to save everything.
So, well, that was one person's belief, yes.
It was going to save us time while we get the bigger picture solved. I have always had doubts about
it. Yeah, this was one person's
wisdom of
input.
This project.
I've always... my feeling is we should never put even one more house on that tank, but that's neither here nor there. But this was one person's opinion, and at that time, it was that person's opinion apparently that counted, and so it was approved. We moved forward. Because we're not going to meet the timeline that was originally designated. I think it wouldn't hurt to pause for a second.
Okay. Any more public comments?
Mr. Jim Farrell.
Well, Gail asked the main question I had. This is the infamous throttle valve that was going to cost $750,000 total?
Correct.
Okay. And that throttle valve was going to help with fire safety and the ability to build more homes, up to 50 more homes in the residence, right?
That is correct.
And so
it was mainly for the times where we have a long period of heat and the tank gets drawn down, and it would be used, you know, the part was, you know, how often do we have string of 100 degree days, and I have an operator there. Why can't he just close the valve, okay, or throttle the valve down?
Okay, no, I understand.
But
so, does the district engineer feel the same way about this?
Correct. I've been in discussions, and Daryl is here. He works. He's part of Joe's company. I have spoken with Joe, and we are in agreement. He's on vacation.
Okay.
And so I've asked Daryl to come in just in case anybody had any questions about
it. Okay. Yeah, right. Save money. I mean, that's because we don't have enough money, so that everything helps. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
And if I'm proven wrong, I'll admit it.
Well, we can always do it at a future date.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Item B.
Item B, update on the MEC culvert repair progress.
Because this keeps going around. What impact does this have on the build-out of the residences with what you're suggesting? Does it have change anything? Is it still 50 homes? I mean, what does this do to that? Because Joe had done this analysis. He said, oh, yeah, well, if we do this, we can do 50 homes. And so what does this do to that piece of the equation?
So that is still up for debate. I've already made my feelings clear, but that's up for debate because I know that 50 home, that 50 number has changed. Since we weren't going, I mean, that project's already been approved for those homes, and so it doesn't matter whether it's got one home on it or 100 homes on it that's approved. The valve's still going to do what it's going to do, and because an operator can be there taking care of that. But to answer your question, I don't know until it actually happens.
Yeah, I guess that would be one of the things I would request as you're part of your, as you go forward. This is, what does that do to that number? You know, I think that was a number that we had that we were working with. We understood it was out there. Now, does that just go away? Is it now 500? Is I what is it? It would be nice to have some clarity around that, because we did have a point of clarity on data at one point. Now it's that part's gone away. So
well,
I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Travis, but all we've done is we've gone from an automatic valve
to a manual operator
valve, yeah. And the results are the same.
Pretty much,
it
yes.
Hasn't changed the system.
It would be nice to have somebody say that, because that isn't what you just said.
Yeah,
but it's so not what you just said, but it's not what he said. He, so it'd be nice to what really is the answer here? What is the answer? What's the data point we're going to zero in on here? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. All right, Travis. MEC culvert repair.
Yeah. So. We got the bid package was sent out to multiple vendors. We had three vendors show up to the walkthrough, and we ended up having two vendors submit quotes. The quotes were reviewed by Joe, and M3 and Veerkamp quoted, and there's a memo from Joe denoting the two quotes. Doug Veerkamp was a little bit over $386,000, and M3 was at $343,000. So we awarded the project to M3, and we're just bringing this here for an update so you know what's going on.
What was Joe's engineer's estimate?
Joe was actually in the middle between those two.
Between the two.
Yeah, he was like I think he was like 320 to 360 or something.
320 to 390, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so the estimates were, he was pretty spot on. Yeah. Surprised the heck out of me. No. No, but so it's within the parameters that he denoted, and so the contract was awarded to M3. So we're just bringing it here so you are aware, and then we will be bringing it to the board just so they're aware.
When's the notice to proceed?
It was already sent. I think the Amelia sent the contract to them. I don't know if she's got that back, but we have let him know that to move forward so we can meet the tight deadline that was put forth.
The equestrian center schedule.
Correct.
Okay.
Good.
Item D.
Okay. Item D. M3 Master Services Agreement, that was sent in for you guys per your request, and it's here, we want to just move forward with using them as a source of for emergency issues.
Sure.
It's here in the packet. I don't know if you guys got to say yes or okay or anything, or this is just a, hey, you asked me to do something, I'm showing you did it type thing.
Okay, so we have master services agreements from M3, Veerkamp, and TNT now.
We haven't hit Veerkamp. I'll talk to you about that in a second. That's the next item. I can combine the two if you like. Veerkamp,
yeah.
I spoke with Veerkamp. They are sending it in. He was not going to have it available until the end of this week. I can do one of two things. I can just go, okay, boom, we're good, or I can bring it back to the improvements committee next month. He just wasn't going to. He says they want to do it. He just wasn't going to be able to get it to me in time.
Well, I don't need, I mean, Randy, I don't need to see it next month. I mean, as long as we have the three and they're on your go-to list.
No, no, no. I want to see your camps before we approve it.
Okay.
And I guess the overriding question is, have you compared rates between the companies? Or is somebody more expensive than others on their?
I have not sat down and looked
You bring beer camps, I would like to see.
Okay.
You know, is there somebody that's cheaper than others, or somebody trying to gouge us? That's the whole idea of having three.
Right.
So we know we're getting the best deal when we need them, right?
Yeah.
So we approved TNT's last month at the board, but maybe by next month you can have VerCamps and have all three of them side by side. Is that doable?
Yeah, I'll have that. That'll be doable.
Okay.
So item F, GIS hosting quote. So there's been multiple discussions regarding our GIS system, whether it's is working well, whether the current vendor we have is meeting our needs. Corey has done some research. He is the current system we have. We are paying $5,700 a year for hosting. But that does not include any updating or anything. If we want to have anything done, we pay the $125 an hour for him to do it. We do not, as staff here, does not have access to also make any changes on that system. Corey has been doing some research, and he found this company, ESRI, that he very much likes. I got two quotes from them, a three-year contract quote and a one-year contract quote. And the one-year contract quote is almost triple what a three-year per year contract price would be. So with this company, where the quote is $5,700, I'm sorry, not triple double, I apologize. With this company, they charge us $5,700 a year for the 3 years to host it. We also have access to that to where we can make changes, insert as the community grows, as we replace valves, we have control over it. And Corey has done some research on this. It is very user friendly. It also will integrate into other programs that we have or that we could potentially be using down the road. So Corey would like to move into, and I agree with him, he would like to switch companies and move over to this company.
So when would this change take place?
It's my understanding it would be done right away, because our annual for CalCAD is due, and sure. So this would be a right-away thing.
Well, ESRI are the guys who manufacture this spatial database. So we're changing from a vendor to the manufacturer, basically, here.
Okay. I don't have the answer to that question.
No, it was just a comment.
Okay.
I mean, we've been dealing with this. I don't know. Randy, you have any comments?
Can we do this without going to the board? Or are you just asking?
It's $17,000. And I only have a $5,000 limit.
Yeah. Well, we currently is with CalCAD, right?
Correct.
So we're replacing vendor.
We're just changing vendors.
So CalCAD is more expensive than this?
Correct.
So it's already in the budget?
Correct.
Yeah.
That thing is not working. I'm
in agreement.
Okay. So, Diane, let's ask him again. The one meeting Amelia misses. Let's ask Amelia if she can just administratively make the vendor change. If not, put it on the consent agenda. Okay. Item G. That's you, Travis.
Item G. Update on raw water storage. I put together a list here that denotes tertiary recycled water received and produced set from 2021 to 2025. I also put together a production from the water treatment plants of how much we've produced each year from 2020 to 2025, and then water that we have pumped to storage, and then potable water that we have billed that we have used. I was asked to, it's my understanding, Director Janko had asked for this information, and so I've put this together as an informational purpose to show our storage and our usage.
Okay.
That's all this is. This is just an informational piece. If you have any questions on it, I'd be more than happy
to.
No,
this is exactly what I asked for.
Okay.
This is perfect. This
is great.
This is good information to have when we're talking about whether or not we can use recycled water as a source for water. But if you could make the font just a little bit smaller, I won't be able to read it with reading glasses.
What I can do, sir, is I can put it in Skrillic too if you want. So, because it's my goal to make your life miserable. No. No, to be able to fit it on one piece of paper.
This is good. Thank
okay.
Great.
Item H, this is not.
And we do have a comment.
Oh, I apologize.
Yes.
Is this on item G?
That's on the water calendar.
Yes.
So what are the column headings?
So the first column heading is the tertiary recycling.
No. So as we go across.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the months.
Does it start
January through through December, and then a total in
then
gallons.
Then that's in gallons.
And then the next one is a total in acre feet.
Okay, is that same thing that applies
all the way down?
The same thing all the way down.
That is correct.
So what we're saying is that we've pumped.
Well, you know what? Maybe
7,
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at it.
Yeah. Okay.
I apologize. The pump to storage. I'll have to look to be honest with you.
Okay.
On that one.
All right. Yeah. Because
that
didn't
was
make
the
sense
last
to me,
yeah.
And I couldn't make it make sense.
That was the last one I did, and so I apologize.
Okay,
I can
great.
Get the answer to that.
Okay. Yeah, and it would be kind of cool since you've got so much space up here that if you could say January, February, March, April, May. Mm-hmm. And the only question that I had about that too is that it looks like if it is May, so it goes January, February, March, April, May. If you drop down to total water, you know, pumped out, you know, into storage, you're pumping water in June, according to this table, and I thought we were cut off in May.
So, okay, so what ended up happening is up until we got clarification from State Water Resources Control Board, we would pump water all the way on May 31st, and we would take the read June 1st, and it would be put on, it would be put there. We were told that's a no-no. You need to stop doing that.
So that's why it's zero thereafter.
Yeah. So we basically turn the pump off at the end of the day, May 31st, and then we do our daily read.
Okay. All right. Then one last question on this. So we have the blue line items. Now these are. Is this basically the total of the metered amounts that are used?
Correct. This is what's given to me. Based on the billing every month.
All right,
yes.
Good. Now, then the last question was, the last CFO that we had here said that when he did an audit on this, that there were like some 240 meters that weren't being read or hadn't been ever been set up and things like that. Does this account for those?
I don't know because I don't know. The information 2020 to 2023 was inputted. I just updated it. So from October 2022 to the end, I went off of the information that I report every month to the state. So I do not know if
that's,
what
that's
that
fair.
Includes.
That's fair. But I think that is a question that hangs out there.
Right. You know? And we and Corey is getting those, dealing with those meters.
Do you know
as
what
we're
I'm talking
going.
About, Celia?
Yeah. I do know that since Corey started, he's been really cleaning up the meters with my billing team. What happened in 2022 to now with the change in, from utility star to Tyler, there could be problems there, you know. So,
yeah,
but
yeah, he's under like 200 meters that weren't even connected or being read or something like
in
that.
In 2022, I can't comment on that.
Okay.
On top of it, we have a conversion from a utility star billing system to Tyler, so that created another pot of problem. But currently, Corey and my billing team, they're actively cleaning out as much as possible.
Okay. Right.
As we're changing out to the smart meter.
So,
yep.
So that might make it. The only other thing that I would just comment on is you look at the water meter usage, and you can see it's dropped down to 1424 acre feet, you know, on that very bottom right-hand
cell. I see it. Yes, sir.
And the only thing I would just say for anybody looking at this and trying to make some sense out of it in terms of, you know, be working with Mattis and stuff like that, is we have to remember that's the water that's coming out of the meter. We're losing as much as 25 to 30% of the water through evaporation, seepage, and leakage, you know, non-revenue things. So it's not like this is the number of the amount of water we need. We need a lot more water than this to get
I completely understand. I was just giving the information.
This, just be aware that it is not 1,400.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just providing the data from what's given to me.
I was just saying for anybody who's looking at this and saying, oh, we're only using 1,400. That's really not true. So okay.
Who was going to say that? Bart? Who is going to say that?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Who is going to say that?
He said, I didn't know that anybody
just
would say
in case
that.
Anybody does.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You could, if you didn't know about it, you'd look at it and say, oh, we're using 1,400. It's like, no, you need more than that.
I mean, we could have, we can put some assumption in there that you just don't know.
Okay. Travis, are you going to be able to handle the...
I have no idea what's going on with that with item H.
On H, Mr. Farrell is going to give a quick update on meeting with Lisa.
I've been out of town at a family graduation, and I talked to Amelia yesterday afternoon about 4 o'clock. She gave me the contact information for Lisa. I will be calling her today to try to figure out where we go from here. So this is about where we are.
Thank you, Jim.
I know Jeff asked for your contact information to have a conversation about it. Did you get that information from Amelia?
Here. Thank you. Make it official.
I didn't. That's what I wanted to speak to. Is I was hoping to get the information from Jim today. I sent Amelia an email asking for Jim's contact information, and I think it still would be really valuable to have somebody in that meeting from the Water Vision Working Group that was chartered to look into these kinds of things. So, Jim, if I could, if we could get together, and maybe I could be included, and if I can be a wallflower in the discussion, that's fine.
I'm not sure that that's my decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. We went over this, Jeff, and I understand your point. I think what we decided, and I'm not sure, wasn't this on the agenda last month? And I think we went back and forth for like a half an hour, and what we said was that the two of them were going to get together, and then after they compared notes, we would get together in a public forum, and they together would share their points of agreement and disagreement.
I would say the same thing as I did at the board meeting when Director Merchant incorrectly indicated why we were excluded. He indicated we were excluded because of a water supply assessment limitation. Had nothing to do with the IWMP. We as developers, and I personally, when this group was set up, I asked to be included in part of it, and he closed it, and I made that known again at the board meeting, and I still maintain the same objection, and I think it's a bad look for the district to close this off to everybody.
Sure.
Excluding SOLOS members, people that come from one side. I think it's good for even if it's just an ear. I'm trying to help. I think it's a bad look not to have a representative from the Water Vision Working Group at least attend this meeting that Mr. Farrell. I don't know what you have to hide in your secret meetings, but I'm happy to attend.
Totally agree, but I don't know where we go. I think it was decided at the last board meeting. I think it's a bad look. I don't know. The Water Vision Group was put together specifically for this type of thing, for this purpose. I'm in total disagreement of where it's going, and I've been vocal about that. But I do believe that it's been decided. I argued.
I think it has two, and I think there was a vote of 4-3. So I think or 3-2, or whatever the vote was, that reflected the disagreement. And that's why when I was asked, I don't think this is my decision to make. This sure. So somebody else has to make this decision.
Okay, revised CIP budget.
That's me.
That's
if you can go to that. Can you shrink a little bit more? All right, so the following tables present the proposed CIP projects for fiscal year 27, along with the associated estimated reserve funding. The committee is requested to review these items, determine whether the proposed projects are essential for the district, and provide a recommendation to the board. So the first item that we have trimmed down the CIP from the first draft from $3.4 million to now $2.1 million. But still,
So hold on a second, Cecilia. Who trimmed this down? I thought we had a CIP that was going to be brought to the board.
This is it.
You just said you trimmed it down.
No. So the first draft that I presented in the last few meetings is just a draft. Then once I determine what's the estimated remaining reserve, then we know that $3.4 million is not a good number.
So what did you cut?
Huh?
What did you cut out?
For example, we put in $50,000 to add offices. We cut it down. I cut down the Great Plains conversion to cloud. And then we also got more quote to a number. So we trimmed down all the expenses and come up with what we really need in the next 12 months. Because the first iteration is like a giant wish list at that time when we prepare for the CIP. So this one, we trim it down so that we can fit what we're going to do in the next 12 months. We still have questions. That's why we're going to bring it in here to talk about each item.
Okay, but you've already removed some of the items.
Right, because we feel like we won't be able to do it within the next 12 months.
You won't be able to accomplish it, or you don't have the money for it?
We both.
You would. We were given direction to look at our wish list and go, all right, we know you would like to have it, but do you have to have it this year?
Wait a second. Who gave you this direction?
We have to do it as part of our CIP.
There's the Improvements Committee and there's the Finance Committee.
Well, no. So let me give you an example. I put in Great Plains conversion to cloud for $7,000.
Okay.
With all that was really what I want to do to upgrade our system. But with two more audits on my belt, I don't think I can do that.
Okay.
And I think that I'm going to finish my audit at the end of this calendar year. So with that, the next 6 months in the next fiscal year would be really looking for what accounting system, billing system that I need to do. Why do two conversions?
Okay, wait a second. You're talking about $7,000. You said a minute ago that you cut over $1 million from the CIP budget.
Right, but it's the same logic that we looked at
No. Well, it's $1 million. So you cut $7,000 items, you cut, 150 of them?
So, no.
Right, we're going to go through the item and tell you what we
have cut and what we have made changes on. That's what this meeting is. The first one is really a giant wish list, and this one, it's more precise. So we cut it because of several things that we got better quote. We know what we're going to do, just like what I just described with the Great Plains. I don't think I have the bandwidth to do two conversions into...
No, I understand your reasoning for that, Cecilia. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what the other... Is the other $1.5 million on here somewhere?
If you'd like, I can give you...
through each one.
I can give you the big ticket items. One of them was taking the total cost of the Vactor truck, that was $700,000+, and taking it down to $141,000 because of the lease. So that was a big dollar item.
Okay.
Also taking down the $957,000 for the complete membrane and HMI, and taking that down to $824,000, so that's another $125,000.
Right.
So those are your two big ticket items, and then we also removed some smaller ticket items that wasn't feasible.
Yeah.
So I think that pretty much comes close to the dollar figure, but those were the two big ticket ones.
No, that brings us into the ballpark.
Yeah, and our first budget meeting, we never approve any CIP. This is the month that we're approving CIP.
I understand that. But we have had several meetings in the past where we went over all of our CIP items. And I've been to several meetings where we had all these CIP and all these staffing and all these operating charges. And now here you show up and you're like, hey, look, I cut a couple $1 million off.
Yeah, and the reason behind it is... I think in the past few months, I've refined the calculation of the reserve. We understand that the reserve is very limited. If we put in $3.5 million, it's not going to work. So that's why we went ahead and trimmed it down a little bit, and then really realistically looking at, in the next 12 months, what can we really do? Can we do all these projects all at once? When we put together the budgets at February, it was a very tight timeline. We just put all the wish lists in, and the idea is to come back to you guys and say, you know, what can we do? Now, if I had the reserve calculation down in January, I would be able to say at January that, hey, 3.4 is not a good number.
Okay.
But because I didn't have the reserve done at that time,
sure.
That's why there's so many iterations. Okay, are we ready to talk about each one? So the first item that I have questioned on is the urban water management plan. We budgeted for $500,000. So if you turn to the two slides down. So, you know, everybody know what is urban water measurement plan, so I'm not going to talk about, you know, what I Google from it. But the background is the district currently has fewer than 3,000 connections. If additional homes are constructed between now and the next fiscal year, the district may get up to 3,000. And clarification is needed on how many homes or lots are expected to be developed between now and the next fiscal year. I don't know. And once the district reaches 3,000 connections, there's a one-year compliance period to implement the UWMP. So the process will require solicitation of bid, committee board approval, which is expected to take several months to complete. So Travis and I talked about it and go, realistically, can we really, should we put $500,000 in the CIP for the next 12 months? So I'm looking for the board to give me feedback, and Travis, please.
Yeah. So, because it was already discussed in board meetings that everyone who does these things are busy up till June, so we weren't going to be doing anything until July. But the question that is being brought forward is, are we going to hit 3,000 connections realistically in this next fiscal year? We can move forward with getting the bids. And based on the decision that's made on when we would be moving forward, the question is, do we want to start spending money on it this next fiscal year, or if we're not realistically going to be at 3,000 connections till maybe the 27-28, do we put the cost of that plan into that next year's, because we know we have to do it. That's not a question. It's when do we put it in the budget to do it?
For clarification, Travis, you said the companies who do this wouldn't be available to June. I believe you mean
July.
I believe it was July of 27.
No. All of the urban water management plans are due every 5 years.
Right.
And they're due this year. So that's what they're getting everything. That's what these companies are doing. So after after June, we were going to be submitting. So July, we were going to be potentially submitting quotes to these companies bids. So we can get bids, and then if we weren't if we were just trying to get potential dollar amounts on what it was going to cost, it was said maybe we put a stipulation that we won't be doing the work until here, but it wasn't going to do any good to do anything till after June because nobody's going to have the bandwidth to do anything for us.
But only if we get up to 3,000, right?
Right. So the question is, do we want to put it in next year's budget? Or if we are not realistically going to be at 3,000 connections until the following, do we want to do it there? That doesn't mean we still can't solicit bids to get a working number so we know. I mean, 500,000 might not be a realistic number. It might not be.
No, I think when WSC quoted, they quoted a whole package that included, and the UWMP, and I think that's where this 500,000 came from. I think this is a pretty solid number.
Okay. So the question is do we want to put it in next year's budget, or do we want to move it to the following year? Cecilia will have more audits done, everything solidified up to be able to make better decisions. Yeah. So that's what this one is about.
I don't see the pressing need to do this year.
I do. The reason why I pushed this, and I thought we had already settled on doing this come July, is we need these numbers. 3,000 or not, we don't have any solid numbers on how much water we need because the IWMP was never finished. It can't be used for future planning because it was just a draft. And so the urban water plan will give us those numbers to tell us what are we looking for, how much water do we need, where do the solutions lie, and then in the meantime, since we talked about this last, this came up that Lisa is going to meet with Jim, and they're going to do something. I'm not sure what, but unless they turn the draft IWMP into a finished product, we still will not have solid numbers, engineered numbers, to tell us how to proceed in our planning, in our water planning. So that's up in the air. If the goal, and it was voted on. I'm not sure what we voted on, except to have for someone to have a meeting. But if the goal is to finish the IWMP and turn the draft into a final product where we have numbers, engineered numbers, we can rely on for future planning, then I think the urban water, which eventually has to be done anyways, becomes a high priority for us. And I know I rambled on without any conclusions because I have more questions than I have answers on where the whole thing is going.
So, Travis, has anyone, this might not be a question for you, has anyone looked into getting a state grant for this?
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, it's 500 grand. I mean, we ought to.
My end, and I could be way off base on this, but I've heard that we can't even qualify for grants until all of our books are in order. I could be wrong, and so, I mean, I'm not making a definitive statement. But to answer your question, I don't know.
If we start the process of getting a consultant on board in July, are we going to spend all of this $500,000 in this fiscal year? Can we cut this thing in half and say we're going to spend half?
That would probably, I don't think that could be answered until whatever consultant we hire, because they may go, well, I want 50% up front, or, you know, it would depend on how they want their money. Whether they bill as they go, or whether they want a certain percentage up front and then a certain percentage at completion, whether we stipulate that or what. So I don't think that could definitively be answered.
Okay.
But thank you.
With all the questions I have, I think the safe thing to do here is to leave it in the budget, because I got to believe that the best thing moving forward, my gut tells me we're not going to turn the IWMP into a finished product, and we need something. So my opinion is, you know, if you ask me today, I think we got to leave it in the budget.
Okay. Question. Given the bandwidth that we have, this project should be done by the director of operation or the GM, right? So it might be better to cut it to 250, just so when they are on board, and then give them that project. Because we probably, with all the other study that we've done, we progress bill. We're not going to spend 500 all in the same year.
Bill, that was kind of my question, and I agree with that. Yeah. I think. Given $250,000, the new GM can find a consultant to get started on and have enough money to proceed, maybe not finish it, the project, but at least to get it going to where we've got something in the hopper.
Yeah, but I don't think we can do that that way, because what we're doing is we're going to contract with our engineer for 500 grand, but we've only got 250 grand in the budget. So what we're doing is we're committing to something that's not in the budget.
I'm looking at cash flow right now, not budgets, a commitment. But I think realistically, because of, you know, we really want to give this project to the director of operation and the GM, and they're not going to be in here until, I don't know, September. And so they will start the project going, and it's going to be halfly done, I think. It's your call.
I think we should budget for all of it or none of it. I mean, I don't think you can do it the other way.
I'm good either way. I just think the money needs to be here to get to keep. Yeah. So it's there for the new GM to start the process.
If we move this forward, and I'm not a finance person, I'm just bringing up a suggestion. If this gets moved forward to the board and the board agrees, and then the person that we contract with does it and says, yeah, I'm only going to do $250,000 of work this fiscal year, I don't know if the budget can be, I don't know how any of that works. I'm just, you know, we're just at this stage of the game, we're just looking to see if it's if we want to move it forward with your guys' blessing or how we want to do it. I don't know the financial
thing. Given the fact that once we have a GM and director of operation, we really should be switching gear to planning, future planning. And I think that if we have the urban, this plan and other plans in place, then we can start planning for the future So it's important.
Well, you made a good point about budgeting versus cash flow. We budget a lot of things that we don't end up spending the money, and the cash flow is what it is. So I don't think there's a difference between 250 and 500. If there's 500,000 in the budget and we don't spend it all, that's
just a good news.
Okay, let's leave that item in.
Yes.
And move along.
Yep.
Okay. So do you want me to
move
forward?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
On the capital reserve.
So on the next item, the rebuild Granley's, the 200, the 125 horsepower pumps. We budgeted $40,000 for that. These are the pumps that are at Granley's that pump the water from the river to here. They have not been serviced or rebuilt in the past 10 years. And we were going to go ahead and do that this fiscal year. Once if this is approved, because we stop pumping May 31st, if it's approved, then, you know, as soon as we're done pumping, or July 1st, whichever, we would start getting them. We'd start getting them done.
Sure.
Approved.
So, the next one, the replace the two trains of membranes. So, the original quote was for $957,000. They did the cost line item by line item, which I specifically asked them to do just in case we had to bring it down. So what I've done is I've removed part of their quote was to have an FSR come out to help with the putting the new ones in, anything that they might potentially be needing to be done. We could technically, we remove that. We don't really need them. The only thing that we need is the HMI installation, because a tech has to come out and do that. So with this dollar amount, this will put all of our membranes replaced. We would be the HMI brain, which has reached its life cycle. Everything would be replaced as if it's brand new. Now, the other thing that I want it noted is if we do not do this, this quote was done under our 10-year. We've gone past our 10-year price guarantee on the modules, but they did quote. They did quote it to us with that price, and they will honor that price if we do that. If not, then the membrane modules go up 50%. So if we do it piecemeal, we don't want to do it piecemeal. That's just not smart. But if we push this off, there's just other than price, there's multiple reasons why we don't want to do that. That's kind of, you know, they're giving us the contracted price for this time. So I'd like to move this one forward.
We don't have much choice, do we?
Well, you can say no, but I would say no, you don't. You know.
Okay, what's next?
So the next two items are replacement of two trucks. One of them is the chief plant operator's truck. It's a dual cab, because there are times that chief plant operator takes people around. It's better to have a four-seater than a two-seater. And the other one, which is truck 814, that's the oldest truck in our fleet. And we would like to replace that one. Those are the two trucks that we would like to.
Wait a second. You got a third truck on here.
This is for operate. These two are for operations. There is a third truck on here. Where's that one at?
About two items down.
New mechanic truck.
Okay, I'll get to that one in a second. So that's those two trucks, and we would like to move forward on those two.
Next item.
Okay, next item is the smart meter endpoint meter replacement. So we have been past couple of years that the board has approved $100,000 a year to replace the meters. We have switched meters, which was already done. This $200,000 would per quarry. It will replace 1,000 endpoints and 130 water meters. We could split that in half and continue with the $100,000. It would just give us, you know, half of what we got there. I know that in previous, like I said, that it was initially discussed that we would just do $100,000 a year. Corey's just asking for this to kind of
speed things up,
and then also to help with, you know, at more accurate reading and stuff. So
does this finish the project?
No, there's
this just speeds it up.
Yeah,
because in the last few years, and I just finished kind of the fixed asset for the past audit year, it's been kind of slow, the amount of turnover in SMEET and smart meter, and I think this one will speed up the whole process. It makes the billing process easier because we don't have so many errors coming in.
No, we need to.
Yeah, we need to speed it up. Yeah.
Okay.
So the next line item, which was the Vactor truck, we initially put this in, like I said, for the complete purchase, which was $750,000-something. Director Gear asked to look into a lease. So they gave us costs for 5 year, 6 year, 7 year, 8 year. So we did the 8 year lease, and it is with a $1 buyout at the end of the lease, and it's $141,000 a year for the lease on the truck. The next line item, this is a work truck for the new mechanic. This was put in, the personnel committee just yesterday approved to move forward to add a new another mechanic position into the budget that will be going to the board for approval. If that is approved, that new person will need a truck. We're not buying a big truck that's got a boom on it. We don't need another one of those. This is just a truck. And then we'll supply it with tools, and it will just be the second equipment mechanics vehicle. The water treatment plants to SCADA to the servers is the cloud. This was the quote that I got from AIC. I ran it by Andy, and he is in 100% agreement that this is the best direction to go, and the cost is reasonable. The rate study,
So this is a, can you go back into? This is a 20-year capital improvement plan plus the 5-year rate study. If you can go to skip the first three paragraphs, those are just what is this project about. But more importantly, yeah, if you can hold there. The project, so the first three paragraphs just really talk about why we really need that two study done. And we've done it this before, so I'm not going to reiterate why it's important to do that projects. But this project will update the most recent CIPP completed by Lomas in fiscal year 23-24 for the water and wastewater system. The underlying data now, it's 4 years old, and no longer reflect the current system conditions. And back then, we didn't even have the fixed asset done. So they, I already talked to them, and they said that that project is outdated. You cannot move forward with future planning with that. And I also wanted them to really look at the drainage system as well, because Corey is already telling me that a lot of underground facilities are breaking. And how much does it really cost to fix the whole underground? And remember, we have a 2% tax. We are only allowed to do 2% tax, and there's no reserve for the drainage, and I don't know why. So if we are tied up with the 2% revenue, but there's more coming through, we need to seek external financing with this study. And so it's important to do that, not only for the water, wastewater, but drainage as well. The updated CIPP will serve as a foundational input for the five-year rate study, which was previously deferred due to lack of financial audits. And I'm hoping that by the end of this year, I will have all 4 years' financial data for them. And the rate study will provide updated projection for existing customer monthly rate for the 5 years, developer fee charges, capital reserve funding, and administration and operation of fee as well. So in addition, this project will include the drafting of public notice and will involve close coordination with us to ensure effective communication with customer regarding the need for fee adjustment, including any proposed rate change structure if applicable. So the overall goal is to ensure that this process is conducted as transparent and clearly as possible, providing customer with an understanding of how this agency will grow. And I want to add in the time frame for this project. For the first part, CIPP will be done July 26 and October 26. Then we're going to switch gear to rate study November 26 to January 27. And the rate study hopefully can be finished with the next budget cycle, so I can just use that number and not have to think about how much does it cost to really fund our agency. So that's my plan, and I hope that the committee can approve that. It's not a normal routine thing. I want to know if I should include that as part of my CIP.
I think it sounds like a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Needs to be done.
Yeah.
Should have been done.
Yeah. I thought it was done. I thought we just paid for this.
We did the CIPP in fiscal year 23-24, but we couldn't do the rate study.
Okay.
And because the audit wasn't done, and I talked to them, can we reuse some of the data? They can reuse some of the data, but not, they will have to upgrade all the fixed asset. And now that Corey is putting in the new system for underground GIS, and that too can feed each other as well. So I think it's a good timing to do it, and it's also with the rates that I proposed in the last in the budget cycle, it would be great to have an independent study telling us what the rate should be.
So this will come up, this will result in a new water augmentation fee also? Will that be part of the study?
That's coming. Sorry, can you go back to the first slide? I'm sorry, the very first slide that has the table.
Okay.
One more. So that is coming under the columns capital improvement. Clarify that?
You said the water augmentation is coming in under capital improvement.
I'm talking about the rate studies.
The study. Okay.
There's no water augmentation here.
There is no water augmentation fee study proposed.
There's none in here. Are you talking about the IS something? The integrated water master plan?
No, I'm talking about how much of the capital improvement budget is going to be funded through developer fees for water augmentation.
Can you say that again?
How much of the capital improvement budget is going to be funded by water augmentation fees by the developer?
None. It's capital improvement funding.
So this study
will be funded through capital improvement.
Is capital improvement only, not water augmentation. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
We got far enough into, didn't Loomis come up with a portion of capital improvement fees that were related to water augmentation and broken out? And we got so far, and I asked for them to add certain things like improvements to the recycled water system that I felt should be part of water augmentation. And that's been a few months ago we discussed it, and I thought it was being worked on. Not part of this study.
Are you talking about the study that we did 3 years ago?
No, this has been in the last 6 months we talked about.
Okay, yeah, we started with that study, but then we also found out that we don't really know the future 15 years of CIP. Yeah. We can't come up with that. And so what we came up with is it's a number for the developer fee that it's not right. Yeah. So that's why I want to switch gear to do this rate study, because that will give us a comprehensive look on our system other than
But if the rate study doesn't include studying what the augmentation fee should be,
that's It will. This rate study.
That was my first question, and I think somebody I probably misstated it.
We just had to work to. We just had to go down the road to get to.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, this.
The same thing my wife does when I talk. Try to figure out what I'm saying.
With all due respect, no.
Well, I got it. Yeah. I got what you're saying, but yeah, I mean, if
so
we
when
do
this study
this,
is when we. After we spend $130,000 on this study, we will know how much to charge the developer for water
augmentation. Right. For going forward, you know, they will give us a plan as to what are the infrastructure that we can put in the next 15 years, and they would also tell us the financing source, external source, how do we come back to finance all these.
So. Very good.
Okay, $25,000. That's yours.
I don't know anything about the office equipment.
The office equipment. Yeah, so this is, I didn't have a slide for it, but Amelia said that we probably have to upgrade some of the system for ADA compliances and stuff for the equipment. So I put in, she asked me to put in $25,000 for it. And the AC unit, according to her, it's 10 years old, two of the units, and we probably will spend $25,000 fixing it, especially during the summer. So I put in $25K. Cameras for the new construction, WWTP and admin.
Yeah, so we have a camera pole that's right there by the, that's on the safety center. That safety center is going away next
Monday.
Next week. So we're gonna relocate it. We want to relocate it and upgrade the cameras. We've had certain issues that we need to deal with, and so this is going to be the relocation and upgrade of the cameras.
That's also the $5,000 down below too. That's the hardware and software that upgrade the whole system.
Well, that's also we have a thing on top
dish,
here,
yeah.
A dish that sends spooky things through the air, so we can, and that's to upgrade that too, so we have better connectivity back at the wastewater plant and the warehouse.
That's the technological term.
Yes, the spooky stuff.
Spooky stuff.
Yep. So,
And there's $5,000, according to IT, that once we change into Windows 11, there are certain computers here that will be in compliance. So we have to budget for that as well. Go Access, Brendan.
Yep.
And the first $10,000 is Go Access conversion. The second one is hardware. There is a slide to that.
Okay. It's actually more than that, though.
Huh?
It's more than that.
Well, I didn't put in the new one.
Okay.
Because it's just more than what it should be. Feel free to talk about it.
Yes. So the first one was the $10,000 and the $20,000 was for the Go Access originally. But due to the budget constraints and the issue with with staffing and everything, I was talking to the representative from that platform, and I told him about how useful it would be to automate a lot of the stuff that we do in order to try to get into within our budget. So he sent me an updated quote, and it would be a one time fee of $71,184.
Shrink it so that you can see the whole entire 71K.
And really with this platform, what it'll do is it'll put AI integrated license plate readers at each of these gates, and it could open the gate for authorized license plates instead of using the barcoded system, which the barcoded system already is it's pretty old, and I know a lot of people don't like sticking those barcodes on their vehicles, so that would also cut the costs of almost $8,000 a year that we buy these barcodes for, just to provide to residents for opening of the gates. And with this platform here, it has the option of a virtual guard, which it would put a kiosk at the visitor lane, and we would be able to, I would only suggest probably doing one for now, just to see how it works, putting this virtual guard there, and basically a visitor at nighttime would come up, hit the button, and they'd be connected with the South Gate officer, and go through the same process with entry on where they're going and who they're visiting. And all this really speeds up the entry process even during the daytime as well, because it auto-populates instead of them having to type in the license plate and names of people. And this old system that we use, ABDI, really, I called Lake of the Pines, and they use the same system right now, which ABDI, and they're tired of it. They say during 4th of July, that's the biggest problems. So right now, this technology here, I believe, would put us into the future and speed up busy holidays and potentially open up the opportunity to cut staff if need be for the budget.
So let me add to that. The entire cost of this project, it's $71,000. And that's why I didn't put it into this budget, because my budget for the security impact fee do not have $71,000. This was presented to me on Friday, and they're supposed to talk today, so I couldn't change my budget to show a negative balance. I think it's a good idea to do AI and turn some of our employee calls to automated the system, because employee costs could be higher than the equipment costs. But I'm not sure how we can finance the entire $71K. Is there any feature that we can turn on first and then?
With that first one, the first price that you got, that was just the basic, no automation, only one or two AI LPR readers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only going to go into the visitor lanes just to auto-populate the license plate to cut down some of the time it takes to get an entry into there. So that was the original first cost. And, I mean, this could always be adjusted, and they'll come and do a walkthrough. And whatever we decide that we don't want, then, and that we feel like we need and don't need, it could be adjusted at that time.
Looks like we've got a reserve balance of about $51,000, and this is $71,000. How much, what's the yearly contribution to the security reserves?
It's not a fixed amount because it's based on developer coming in, and I don't have that estimation. Yeah. Now, Randy,
how much per lot? How much per hookup?
It's 1,200. Depends on whether it's outside the gate or inside the gate.
So you'd need 20 or 30 new hookups to add to the balance to just pay for this one thing.
But the thing is, since our last board meeting, we've been going back to rework our payroll, and we work everything to cut the budgets. And, you know, we got this information on Friday, and I wanted to sit down with him and figure it out. If we turn some part of the feature into AI, will it replace some of the employee costs? We haven't got to that yet. And Go Access is supposed to present to us in security meeting, which is next.
They unfortunately had to reschedule for that.
Oh, okay.
Just because of the back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I you know, it feels incomplete right now, but I think using the technology should be something that we should consider.
Brandon, when do you think you're going to reschedule their presentation for?
The times that he gave me today were
1:15.
Yeah, 1:15 or 9 a.m. tomorrow morning or 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Well, my concern with spending all this money is that whether this is going to be adaptable in the future. I don't want to buy another. I mean, because here you have a license plate reader. That's kind of old technology compared to facial recognition.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they have a facial recognition component, can we add it in, or are they going to say, oops, you got to buy a new system? You know, and that those answers we need to have answers.
So I was reading through their he pretty much sent me the presentation with the proposal. So it's not exactly facial recognition that they have when the visitor pulls up to the visitor lane, but it's a picture that takes of it takes a picture of the person, and it references it to the last time that they entered for that address and makes sure it's the same person. So I guess it's a bit of facial recognition, but people's license plates aren't going to change at all. And if they had tinted windows, they're, you know.
Well, they'd have to roll their window down, wouldn't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So
that sounds like the same thing that like the passport uses for the airlines when you're going. It's
facial.
Because you
yeah.
When you check in, they scan your passport, and then every other spot you go to, you just look at a camera and they
it's the new
compare it.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing though is the LPR readers opening the gates for residents and authorized visitors. That'd speed up everything. It would get rid of the barcodes, and that's gonna be there for a while until California doesn't have license plates anymore. So.
Do we have enough money in the fund to do just that portion? No.
No, security
what's
impact.
What's the possibility? I know in the past we've done borrowing between various funds and then paid it back. Is there a possibility of that here?
Well, if I'm going to look in. Well, payback is the problem. What is the future security impact fee revenue should be? You know, so I don't have any guarantee right now. So payback, it's not an option. And plus, all the funds are already very small, given the fact that all these spendings. So, and that's why I didn't put the entire 71K in, because in a way, I want to do the technology, but then I have to think about how we have to cut the payroll for security budget anyway to sustain, but how do we balance it? And the problem
I agree with what you did, not putting it all in there.
The problem.
Putting some in there. This is something that's, it's almost a placeholder now.
Well, I also feel like the business model that we have with charging 2% increase each year for the security fund, it's not sustainable because how healthcare costs and all the costs are increasing at more than 2%, and I don't know who puts in the 2% in 1981 to come up with that. So I felt like we need to revisit our business model for security fund, because it's we can't cut payroll each year. It's not good.
So. No, it's beyond the conversation for this committee,
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
this budget, because it's a more global thing that includes the whole community, not just CSD. And
yeah.
So I guess to get past this, I agree with the 30,000 that you put in here or whatever. It's just a placeholder. And it's almost to be determined later.
And I'm wondering.
I agree. I think it'd be great, but if we don't have the money, we don't have the money.
Right.
Well, I think if you can look at whether we can turn the basic feature first, mm-hmm. and then and then slowly add in once we have solid proof that security impact fee is there,
And they said that's always the option. I think the biggest thing was to put it into the visitor lanes
mm-hmm.
first,
mm-hmm.
and that'll speed up everything. That's okay. mainly what we need.
Yeah, but I need some time to work with Brendan on the whole financial analysis too. Like, can we cut payroll? What can we automate? So we'll come back to it.
Let's move on to the next item. As Randy said, this is a much bigger issue than just... You have comments?
We do. We have Kyle.
Are we through with the summary page?
Not quite, because... not quite, because if you go back to the very first slide with the table... So one of the reasons why I want to trim the urban water management plan from 500 to a lower amount or to zero, it's because if you go down to the bottom two lines, the estimated reserve balance at the end of fiscal year 26 is about 399. And
we still had one more line item in this for the radio. Motorola.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you needed to hear about that.
Right. I forgot about that. So we talked about Go Access
okay.
and
right.
the radio. Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah, we're down to two working radios between the four patrol officers that I have. So this radio replacement, that's just for that's for the lease.
Okay.
And then if something bad happens to them, like they get broken or anything, we'd be able to just to send them in. So the ones that we have right now that are broken that I do have on hand, they're obsolete. And they don't make parts for them anymore, so I couldn't get those fixed or refurbished or anything like that.
Yeah, I put in the first draft of $18,000, and we turned it into a lease, so that for cash flow purposes is $5,000. So all in all, we're tight with funding for that project. So what I wanted to say is, if you look at the balance, where the equal lines are, we have a negative balance for capital improvement plan, a reserve, not plan. So with the 500 in, we're coming up with a negative. And this is, again, the reserve is still estimation, because I have not completed the fixed asset for the past 4 years. So it's cutting tight. But I am, it's tight. Because I remember when we finished the last two audit, the capital improvement plan balance was a little bit over $1 million. So if we keep spending on it, it's a little bit tight.
Sure.
So we might want to tap into operating reserve to pay for that, because the $500,000, it's important for our future planning.
Okay.
And I'll come back to you guys when the whole thing is put together with the new budgets. And then at that time, we can say, allocate some part of the operating reserve to pay for that, and then we're good. Okay.
Great.
So
I'm in agreement. I think you did a great job with this plan. Where are we at on the revenue side? The last proposed budget I saw had a huge increase in rate for users for contributions to the reserve funds. Are we still on track?
We have to wait until the Prop 218 process complete to finalize that.
We haven't talked about that.
We cannot. Yeah. So that concludes the CIP project and dam insurance.
No, we have comments here. So Bob Kyle.
I noticed there's no water augmentation projects in the fiscal budget. Is there a reason for that?
Nobody asked me to put it in. It's a project.
Wouldn't it be prudent to put in maybe the study that was put off for next year and then also the test well budget? I mean, there's $3 million in the augmentation fund. Why wouldn't we plan for spending some of that money?
Where is the $3 million come from?
It's in your water augmentation budget.
It's
2.6
or whatever. It's 2.5.
Okay.
It's an estimation, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I just want to disclaim that anything here, the audit is not done. It's preliminary.
I understand.
Don't hold me to that.
But the way that it looks is that there are no water augmentation projects scheduled for the next year and a half. Is that by design or is that?
No, I've asked for us to look at that. I keep hammering on water augmentation. Patrick has told us that there's an outside chance that we start losing some of that money.
It's a real chance.
Thank you. We have legal opinion that there's a chance that we start losing some of that money if we don't start spending it.
We're planning to spend it.
But then we can't, and this is just my opinion, if the board can't agree on where to drill, I mean, there's...
But there's other things we can do, Travis. In my opinion, recycled water is part of water augmentation. And we haven't done anything about that since we bored under the highway and put that pipe in. There's lots of projects we could be working on right now for recycled water.
There is... but there hasn't been a decision on what we're going to use the recycled water for. I mean, Director Merchant has said, "Well, we can toilet to tap that," there's been multiple. I mean, if you're going to, let's just say the district goes, "Well, let's toilet to tap it." Okay, that's one set of infrastructure. If we're going to use it to augment irrigation, that's a completely different set of infrastructure. So until the board makes a decision on what we're going to use the recycled water for, we can't make a plan on what to spend to use it for. So it doesn't do me any good to put it into a CIP until the board makes a final decision. And we can't make a decision until we have either an integrated water master plan or an urban water management plan. So, yeah, we can put it in there, but what am I going to – I have to be able to explain it.
So are we doing a IW plan? If we are, then I need to put it in the CIP.
We don't know.
We won't know until Jim talks.
We don't know. We apparently have voted that there's going to be a meeting, some kind of meeting, but I don't believe it's going to lead to a final plan.
So that's we
why
answer your
that's
question.
Why I would like.
Well, no, I mean
500,000 for the urban plan. But
everybody knows we need to dig a test well. Right now, we don't know exactly where to dig it. Why wouldn't we put a budget for a test well in the in the
Bob, there are so many things that go together. Where's our agreement for drilling test wells?
I agree. You should have a portion for the water lawyer. You should have something under water augmentation for negotiations for a water lawyer under water augmentation. That should be part of the plan.
I think we rolled that into the general admin budget.
Okay.
We have a water lawyer.
Correct. Budget.
But that's a good point though, Bob. I mean, if we could put that our water lawyer under the water augmentation fees.
We can, but I don't know exactly at that point when I put the budget together, what is that for?
I don't know.
Is it for the IW?
When you start getting bills from lawyers, it may have to be separated into various buckets.
Yeah.
Depending upon what the lawyer is working on. But in the bigger picture, if we have legal advice that if we don't start spending this money, we're going to start losing it. It should be this committee that spearheads some type of plan on moving forward for water augmentation, whether that's recommending that we put some money away for drilling wells or come up with what we want to do with the recycled water and start heading in that direction. But it should start here, and it should come from a recommendation from staff on how to move forward. And I get it, Travis. The board is all over the place on where this wants to go, but that's when we should be looking to staff to say, here's your best option. Okay. This is where we should be going.
So, and I'm with you on that. And you know, if we wanted to, I can say to you, Director Jenko, Director Gere, my hope is that sometime over the next fiscal year, the board makes a decision that we're going to drill at XYZ. So let's at least put the money in the budget so when the board makes the decision, we can move forward. I'm 100% okay with that. If we are on time constraints, then absolutely. I would rather plan for it and in hopes that the board can come to an agreement, and then the money's there. And then we don't have to go, we didn't plan for it. So we can put that in. We can go, hey, you know, we need $1.5 million to drill a test well.
Absolutely. I think that's the direction we ought to go, and we ought to see $1.5 million in the CIP budget for next year. That we're talking about we would then have 18 months to come up with a plan to drill a test well. So
I'm perfectly okay
like
with that.
I'd like to see the $90,000 for the done geomagnetic study thing in there too. I think that should somehow getting that going should be high priority.
Okay, because what I can do is. We bring up the $90,000 for the Dunn study, and then I can make a call. I really just need to call one person, one company. What's the average cost to drill a test well? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a budgetary number, and then we can add that in the CIP under the water. I can get that information. I can give it to Cecilia. And if you're okay with it, we can add it to what we have that we're bringing to the board.
I don't know. Cecilia, would this be a separate column for water augmentation capital improvements or something?
Yes. But given the fact that it's so fluid right now, we can always amend the budgets, especially CIP. So I'm
like
in a time crunch.
I just like to see some money in there that says we're going to start spending money on this, because the lawyer says if we don't, we're going to start losing the money. So
So what?
It gives us a target of, okay, how do we, here's the money, how do we get there? Okay. I think that's, that might get this thing off the dime.
So,
well, wait a second, we're getting way beyond the scope of today's analysis.
We are.
We're proposing all sorts of new things and clever things, and you know, there needs to be a lot more work up between the options that we have available and how much they cost. Okay, we're not just gonna put, oh yeah, let's put $1 million on this and $1 million on that. I mean, how do we do that? So, Cecilia, you were explaining your spreadsheet here. I think we should continue with that and get her done.
I thought you were already done, Cecilia.
We're done with that. We're doing the public comments.
Yeah. So okay. I haven't had my 3 minutes. I've been listening a lot. I have one more comment, and that is the planning on the $1,200 security fee that you mentioned, that it's $1,200. The security fee is $80.83 is what the connection fee says. Sorry to go right at you when you first walked
in
the dark.
In addition to the connection fee, you'll find in the 670 FSA that is one of the bundled fees. The $1,200 security fee is one of the bundled fees.
It should replace the $80.83. It shouldn't be added as an additional fee.
I'll look at it again.
Okay, so the 670 FSA fees are fixed. So when you're talking about raising augmentation fees, that's great for Rancho North, but the 670 FSA bundled fee has a specific number, $4,581 plus cost of living increases since 2014. So just make sure when you're doing your budgeting, we're working this out with Patrick right now, but there will be a $1,200 security fee.
Right.
But the augmentation fees are going to be limited based on the 670 FSA because you can't pick and choose. And so all I wanted to do was mention that there are.
We'll come back to it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Jeff Pearson.
So before you go any farther, Jeff, I just want to clarify. I have two differences of opinions on what direction we're going with budgetary quote for test well and adding the cost of the done study.
We're not going to add that, Travis. Randy can address that at the budget meeting, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Jeff Pearson with Marietta Properties. I agree with a lot of what Bob said. We had a meeting this year where a couple hundred folks in the community came out, and we were this close to a water emergency. We were going to declare a water emergency, and to have nothing to try to fix that problem on here, I think is an oversight. We got to start. We got to have something to do this year that helps solve the problem that the board claimed existed. What Randy was saying, the getting the Dunn study is a great start. I think that you'll find that Dunn is a good resource also when it comes to being able to help you with budgeting well costs.
Okay, we voted against doing the Dunn study, right? I mean, you were here.
For that point in time.
Okay, so what,
I'm saying,
other than drilling wells on property we don't own, what are other solutions?
Well, you have to progress through these things in order. Mr. Geary, you don't start just drilling wells. You have to progress it in an orderly fashion. And the first thing that comes to mind that you start with is to figure out where the water is, which would be an appropriate thing to add to this budget, not necessarily drilling wells.
Okay, thank you for your comment.
So does that mean I'm done?
Well, we're not going to add it here, Jeff.
I'm simply saying that I believe that there should be some money in this budget to develop the water, considering that we were this close to an emergency, and there's nothing on here to address that.
I agree with you, but there's an awful lot of people who say there's absolutely no water under the ground here. And to see you guys spending millions of dollars, hey, let's go check, why don't we investigate other things like merging with another water district where we'll have all the water we need.
Yeah, well, that's what the augmentation money is for.
Okay, it is.
And Mr. Farrell? Okay, perfect. Thank you. We can move to the next one.
And I do have...
Okay, how about, it's okay. Dam insurance.
Dam insurance.
Oh, is that me? You want to talk about dam insurance? You want me to?
Yes.
I'm sorry I'm late. I had an appointment this morning. I couldn't change. Sure. We have received a quote for 2025-26, which is the year that we're currently in. That quote will give us $50 million of coverage per occurrence, and it will cover Calero, Chesbro, Clementia, Granlees, Michigan Bar 1, and Michigan Bar 2. And that's $38,000. They would prorate it, but duh, it's not raining anymore. Why would we do that? So I have to assume, I mean, I could, so they haven't provided me a quote for 26-27 yet. I am, based on this being $38,000, $40,000, let's, between $40,000 and $45,000.
And that just runs till the end of the fiscal year?
No, no, for 26-27. I wouldn't recommend doing it for the end of. Till the end of this fiscal year.
So, wait a minute. Our insurance quote is for a term of how many months? A million?
12.
Okay.
So from July 1st to June 30th.
Okay. For 38 grand?
Yeah.
No. The 38 grand is a prorated from today until the end of the fiscal year.
We haven't gotten a quote for the next fiscal year yet, but the purpose of this is to evaluate whether this insurance coverage, it's good for us. And I remember you asked for the detail of the coverage, and that's what she's providing to you. What's the coverage will be in case of an emergency or a liability. So we have to determine whether the dam insurance is appropriate for us.
Yeah.
That's not how I read it. I read it, it would be the $38,000 for the whole year, and that she would prorate it. That's not the prorated. Here you go. The carriers have all approved coverage for dam buyback, which is if we wanted to prorate it and still have it in 25-26. Annual dam buyback premium for all dams is $38,057.
Wow.
So from that, that's for the whole year. That's for a 12-month period. But, of course, that's the current 12-month period. So we would just have to guess because they haven't given us a quote for 26-27, which is the year that we're wanting you to decide if you want to add it. So I'm thinking $40,000 to $45,000 would probably be the amount for the entire 12-month period for next year. And then Travis has comments on dams and levy insurance and how pertinent it is for us to buy it.
So... For the rest of the year, I don't see the dam at Granlees Dam failing. But, you know, act of God, anything can happen. The main concern that I would have is our lakes are full. I mean, we get our levees inspected and our dams inspected every year. Unless we have a heavy rain, I don't see the river flow getting to the point to where it could damage the levees over by hole 10 and 11 on the golf course. If we don't have insurance right now, we have what, May, June, July, we have 2 months. I don't see us having any issues for the rest of the fiscal year. But if they want to say, hey, look, it's $5,000 for the rest of the year, then, you know.
So you're saying, yeah. Travis, we should get a quote for all of next year?
Absolutely.
I mean, I can ask every single day.
And this is GSRMA?
And she can tell me every single day they don't have it yet, yeah. You know.
We absolutely have to have it.
Yeah, we have to have a quote, but... Yeah.
But okay. The quote is not the problem, right? It's whether we should add that in the next fiscal year. Right. Because
that's
you have asked
question.
That, show me the insurance coverage, and we can say $50,000 for it. Is it worth it for us to buy that? So that's the that's what I'm hoping to hear. Should I take it out or should I revise the budgets? Should we go ahead with that?
I'd say we just leave it.
We just leave it and not have it?
Just leave it in the budget as a marker, and if we get a quote and we like the quote, then we have money in the budget to spend.
I agree.
But the problem is, he just told us that we spend about $75,000 from the state to inspect our dam each year. And according to him, it's good.
Yeah. And the levees?
He doesn't see any problem with it. So do we spend $50,000 this year for, you know, in case of liability, how much are they covering us for what? And I remember the last conversation was the coverage is not adequate to cover the estimated loss. So,
Right. Well, the bigger question than what the premium is what are we getting covered for?
Yeah.
We're getting covered for downstream damage to homes, golf course, those types of things, or are we just getting coverage to repair the dam after happens?
Are you questioning?
That's the question. What is the coverage?
What is the coverage? Is it there?
Let me try.
I can't see.
Oh, there it is.
The detail.
Mm-hmm. I could. One of the frustrations that we've had with GSRMA over the years is that it's not like our car insurance where you say, okay, well, if somebody else hits me and it's their fault, what's covered? They say, well, we have to look at exactly the situation and what happened and the events leading up to that and do a full... So they'll never tell me if something's covered or not. But these are the... it would be under the liability insurance.
Yeah, it about 10 items down, it says dam failure is a major exclusion.
And so when we purchase this dam coverage, we're no longer excluding that. And it says $50 million per occurrence.
$15 million.
50 million.
50 million.
Yeah, 50 million, not 51.
So in case of a failure, they will cover up to 50 million.
Yeah.
Is that adequate or... I don't know.
So the other thing that I think that we need to do, because Amelia, you had said that the coverage would cover Clementia, Calero, Chesbro, the dam, Michigan Bar 1, Michigan Bar 2.
That's true.
Okay, what about the levee that's over there by that's over by 10 and 11 on the south? Because that's the one that has failed recently. I mean, not recently failed, but when we had the one, I don't know if it failed, but the water went over it. Does that include that? It would
it's
be
not on the it's okay. not on the listed, so yep. I would have to add.
And then there's the levee that's over by Main Lift South. By the wood bridge.
Yeah.
So, we have those areas too. We also have the, and I don't know if that's a levee or not, but over there by hole one, on the south that floods when we have the major years. I don't think that's a levee. I think that's just
a flooding area.
Yeah, it's just a flooding area.
Travis, do you think that we need this insurance?
I absolutely 100% agree. Yes, we do need the insurance. Do we need to get it over for the next 2 months?
No.
Do we need to have it? I mean, just look at Wilton when theirs went away. I mean, that was catastrophic. I can't predict what Mother Nature's going to do from year to year, but I 100% agree that we need the insurance.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I think we need to see what this quote is covering and to make sure we've got everything under the umbrella.
Again, you're going to need to put it in the budget because you're not going to have the quote back from her for 26-27 before we go to the budget meeting next month. Additionally, they are never going to say this exactly what is covered. They're always going to tell us, well,
they don't tell you what's covered. Right. They tell you what their exclusions are, and if you read the major exclusions on property, you get down to there's a $3 million sublimit for bridges, dams, catwaters, roadways, highways, streets, sidewalks, culverts, streetlights, traffic signals. So, yeah, I guess you, does it, what does it cover? So what's left over?
Right.
Houses, I guess?
Houses.
Buildings? Either way, yeah, we got to have it.
Something's better than nothing, no matter what.
We got to have something in the budget.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have it.
But I will also say on their behalf, every time we file the claim with them, they've paid it. So they've always paid.
Okay.
All right.
They're going to upgrade.
We do have a public comment. Gal.
So then we'll add this to the budget for next year.
Just to add to the confusion, there's one more levy along the river next to the airport, and it's not in the Reclamation District. It's tricky. I can't find out exactly where it's in the Reclamation District and where it isn't. But you have a section of the district that isn't in the Reclamation District that basically belongs to you. And I guess many years ago, the airport, they didn't want to be in the Reclamation District. So you have another levy that could break in.
Okay.
And in fact, they're having a little levy issue right now in the section that belongs to the Reclamation District that is washed out. I cover the Reclamation District, so I'm aware of that levy. So just to add to the confusion here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
Right. That changes everything. I don't want insurance now.
More confusion is always welcome at this committee.
By the way, that dam insurance is already included in our budgets.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Randy. Any update?
We have not met. We're waiting for a water attorney to be on board. What is the status of that?
I do have a contract that she has signed, and I believe that John has to sign it. So I'll see him after security today, I hope, I think. John?
Yeah, they're in the conference room.
And then I will ask him to sign it, and we'll move forward on that.
Yeah, get a Zoom meeting with the water group and the attorney, and I know from emails I've been getting that everybody's anxious to get that meeting going and has a lot of questions for her, so that'll be good. That's all we've got on the...
And then I did have an email. Okay, so the water group and the attorney, if you could have a list of questions prepared for her, I think it'll make it easier for her to just kind of already know the information. I would appreciate that. I'll work with you and then everybody in the whole working group, Randy, to get that meeting scheduled. Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay. One hour or half an hour? Half an hour?
At least an hour.
1 hour, I understand. And then Tom Shuchek did send me an email, and he sent it to Bill and Randy. He said on this item, Bill, Randy, can we now consult with the water attorney, like Comanche permitting, negotiations with landowners? So it's all the stuff that we're asking the water attorney. Okay. And then okay, go ahead.
Is that it?
Yes,
you done,
sir.
Randy?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That being the case.
So we do have staff and director comments. I did have a comment.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, well, I don't have a comment, but I wanted to make sure that the email that Tom wrote yesterday, where he did have public comments, I wanted to make sure that those were addressed in the record.
They were not.
So because I wasn't here due to my appointment that I couldn't change, so I'm going to go ahead and make...
Add them.
I just want to... Yeah.
Sure.
Amelia, I think better communication is needed when meeting dates are changed. Maybe the 4:15 board meeting minutes were... Maybe if the board meeting minutes were published earlier, well, we can't publish them earlier because they have to be approved by the board. I would have been at improvements committee, so he can't make it. Would have listened to the audio. It was a 5-hour meeting. and he's still offering effective meetings, presentation to staff, and maybe even board members, if that is of interest, which it definitely is of interest. We need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any final comments, Randy?
Yeah, you mentioned that I should bring up in the budget meetings that we should have some money in the budget for the water augmentation. We're talking about next year's fiscal year budget, which goes out 18 months or something. If we don't have something in that budget to begin the process to spend some of that water augmentation fees, I think it's a serious mistake by this committee and board.
Okay. All right. That being said, meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.